This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Let's talk about water in the West. And for once, it's not bad news. It seems that many people who rely on the Colorado River for water are using less of it, person for person. This would include many of us in this state. A new report from the Pacific Institute, it's an environmental research group in California, finds that per capita water use in the region is down considerably, with a few exceptions here and there. Michael Cohen crunched the numbers. He looked at water use starting in 1990, then up through 2008. Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Is conservation a wash? In other words, does the difference you've perceived here make up for the fact that population and reliance on the Colorado River is growing at such a fast clip?
In some ways, it's a wash. It's certainly helped to offset a lot of the population growth we've seen in the basin and from the many cities outside the basin that rely on water from the Colorado River. But in a number of locations, in fact, 28 different water agencies that I included in this survey, there was less water use, less water delivery to those cities despite huge population growth. So in fact, I would say the conservation is better than a wash, and it's actually a net benefit in many areas.
Hmm. You want to name a few of those communities that had a population increase and an overall water use decrease?
So here in Colorado, Denver Water, Fort Collins, Loveland, Greeley, and City of Boulder all delivered less water in 2008 than they had in 1990, despite population growth.
I bet you were surprised by that.
I was quite pleasantly surprised. I had expected to see that per capita deliveries had decreased over time, but not at the rate that I saw in many of these areas. And the fact that total water deliveries were less than they had been was a very pleasant surprise.
Now, were there communities that did less well in the period you looked at?
Almost every water agency that I looked at, their per capita delivery rate declined over time. There were a couple that didn't decline very much, and in fact, there were a few agencies that delivered both more water in total and more water per person than they had.
Can we name a few of those?
So the point of this report was really just to get the facts out there. I wasn't trying so much to do city-by-city comparisons because that always gets a little technical, and cities will often become very defensive when we do city-by-city comparisons. So I was trying just to get the data out there so people can do their own analyses. And also, this is the first time really that anybody's done that. Really what drove me to do this report is I was trying to find some of this information. It simply didn't exist. Nobody had actually compiled this before. So I started what I thought was going to be a quick and dirty report, which actually became a very time-intensive report.
Now, I know you're trying to be diplomatic, but come on, just drop a few names.
There are some, of course, exceptions. The general trend was very good. Interestingly, the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California had overall a very good trend. And in fact, despite adding 3.6 million people, delivered less water in 2008 than they did in 1990. However, one of their member agencies, the City of San Marino, their total water deliveries, their per capita rate, was more than double that of the Metropolitan Water Agency as a whole. Also, in the Coachella Valley, water delivery rates were extremely high. For example, the City of Palm Springs and some other wealthy communities out there in the desert, their total water delivery rates were, again, more than double that of the agencies as a whole that were included in this study. Also interesting is that some of these water agencies in the upper part of the Coachella Valley, again, around Palm Springs, their water delivery rates, again, were more than double that of a city at the lower end of the valley, which is a less wealthy community, the city of Coachella, which is right about average.
Well, let's talk about Denver Water, for instance. You found that they actually delivered less water, right?
Right.
What were some of the reasons that was true?
There's a number of reasons why Denver Water has delivered less water. Some of these include Denver Water's aggressive Use Water Wisely program, which has, I think, been very successful, and it's sensitized people to the value of water, the fact that water is a limited resource here in the West, and that people need to use it more wisely. So that, I think, has been very effective. There's some changes at the federal level and at the state level in terms of water efficiency. So fixtures, for example, toilets are much more efficient than they used to be. Some shower heads are more efficient. Simply your tap is more efficient in many cases. So those kind of changes, structural changes, have made water use more efficient. Behavioral changes, so that, like this water use campaign, people water their lawns less than they used to, at least in some areas. And I think another major factor, certainly along the Front Range, was the massive drought that we experienced in 2002. In that instance, water simply was not available, and there were drought restrictions throughout the Front Range. People were told not to water their lawns. There were limited times when you could water your lawn. You weren't supposed to wash your car, for example. So I think that really sensitized people to the value of water. And Denver Water and other water agencies were expecting water use to rebound after the drought ended, and that water use really did not rebound to the extent they expected, so that water use remained low. So again, there are a number of factors. And the other factor, of course, was that in 2008 was the recession.
And recessions have an impact on water use.
Recessions have an impact, varies on location again. So foreclosures, of course, if people aren't actually in the house or if they're trying to make ends meet, watering their lawn isn't often the highest priority.
What does this tell us moving forward? That there's hope for those of us living in the West?
I was very pleased to see some of these results, and I thought it was much more hopeful than I had expected. It shows that people have become much more cognizant of the value of water, and that the overall trend is roughly a 1% per year reduction in per capita deliveries. Many water agencies project future reductions and had been projecting future reductions at about half that rate or less. Hmm. So people did, by that measure, twice as well as we had expected. And I think that provides a lot of hope for the future because it shows that people do respond. Some of these water agencies continue to use pretty high rates of per capita deliveries. So there's a lot of room for continued, achievement there as well. And we've now shown that it's something that people can do.
And that if water agencies make a concerted effort to get the word out, you know, these kind of campaigns we've seen certainly in Denver, that they have an effect.
That's exactly right.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and our guest is Michael Cohen. He's a senior research associate at the Pacific Institute. And we're talking about the fact that, I guess you could say, more people are using less water from the Colorado River. We've talked about, you know, lawn watering and low-flow toilets, but as I understand it, that is a drop in the proverbial bucket because agriculture uses so much water. Denver Water pointed to that fact in a recent statement saying, even a total ban on outdoor irrigation by urban utilities, they call that a drastic action that would have devastating economic and environmental social impacts. Even doing that would contribute only a small percentage of the water needed to meet future anticipated shortages.
That's correct. And essentially, that's an artifact of our water rights system. The water rights system essentially was set up to be the first person to use the water gets the right to use that water. So 100 years ago, 120 years ago, or even more, farmers on the Western Slope and farmers throughout the Colorado River Basin, in fact, some farmers outside of the Colorado River Basin down in southeastern California, were taking large amounts of water, and they established a right to use that water. So now we essentially see the repercussions of that water rights system in that some 70% of the water taken from the Colorado River Basin system is used by agriculture, whereas municipal uses are only about 15%. So in some ways, it's right to say that even if there were drastic cutbacks in the municipal sector, it would only have a small overall impact on total water use. But the flip side of that argument is agriculture has been pretty flat over time. Total change in agriculture from, I think, 1971 to 1999 was only about a 4% growth, whereas in the municipal side over that same period, it increased by more than 50%. So I'm not suggesting in any way that we should only look at municipal conservation. But I do think municipal conservation as a way to meet this supply-demand imbalance that is threatening the Colorado River Basin.
Can you say that the positive news coming out of your report has anything to do with changes in agricultural behavior, though? Or did it look specifically at municipal?
This report only looked at municipal deliveries. We did not look at ag, and I went out of my way to remove any agricultural deliveries from deliveries by any of these agencies. So it was exclusively look at municipal deliveries.
Is that something you'd like to study, though?
Agriculture is certainly be interesting to study as well. This study was pretty challenging. Studying agriculture would be even more challenging.
you've had your fill for now.
I've had my fill. And well, there are some efforts right now to document agricultural demands. Some of that's challenging because there's a lot of return flows from agriculture that go back into the water and then is diverted by municipal providers. So that water is reused throughout the system. A lot of the water in this municipal study is, in fact, water that's exported from the basin. In fact, the study found that 70% of the people that rely on water from the basin live outside of the basin, so along the Front Range and predominantly in southwestern California, Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County, that whole area, which is more than 18 million people, live outside of the basin but rely on water from the Colorado River Basin.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
My pleasure.
Michael Cohen is a senior research associate with the Pacific Institute. That's based in California, but Michael works at its Boulder office.